Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Let's sing together, shall we? Would you stand and sing with us, please? It's just another new one.
Just so you know, there's a little clapping in it.
One, two, one, two, and...
Go make a difference. We can make a difference.
God's people said. Please be seated.
Thank you, praise band. We came in and Jesse said, they're clapping. I think she was wondering if she was in the right church. We're glad you're clapping. You're happy. You're here. You've missed the rain so far. And we are delighted to be in worship with you. My name is Cheryl Broom, and I am your senior pastor. Not only because I have senior hair or senior moments, because I have both. But I'm delighted to be your leader here. I want to remind you of a couple things. In your bulletin today, on the very back sheet, is a list of things to come. Use that, put it on your refrigerator at home, mark on it, whatever you need to do in order to know what's happening in the life of your church. Also, we have these beautiful cards in the pew back in front of you. That always sounds so weird, doesn't it? In front of you in the pew back. And this is for prayer requests, so please fill that out if you have a prayer request for this body of believers, and we will pray for you. And this blue card is for visitors that we have not met yet, so that we'll get to know you. So welcome to worship. Let's get started.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Fitzpatrick, and it's good to be in worship with you this morning. We light these candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Will you please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? The scripture reading this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 through 9, 1 through 6, 9 through 11, and 14 through 18. I will be reading from the easy-to-read version. You may read along in the Pew Bible on page 402. And now let's listen to a word from God. Then the people of Judah chose Uzziah to be their new king in place of Amaziah. Amaziah was Uzziah's father. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and gave it back to Judah. He did this after Amaziah died and was buried with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He ruled 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah. Jechaliah was from Jerusalem. Uzziah did what the Lord wanted him to do. He obeyed God the same as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah followed God in the name of Zechariah's life. Zechariah taught Uzziah how to respect and obey God. When Uzziah was obeying the Lord, God gave him success. Uzziah fought a war against the Philistines. He tore down the walls around the towns of Gath, Gabneh, and Ashdod. Uzziah built towns near the town of Ashdod and in other places among the Philistines. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the place where the wall was turned. He made them strong. He built towers in the desert. He also dug many wells. He had many cattle in the hill country and in the flatlands. He had farmers in the mountains and in the lands where growth was good. He also had men who took care of the vineyards. He loved farming. Uzziah had an army of trained soldiers. Uzziah gave the army shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and stones for the slings. In Jerusalem, Uzziah made machines that were invented by clever men. These machines were put on the towers and corner walls. They shot arrows and large rocks. Uzziah became famous. People knew his name in faraway places. He had much help and became a powerful king. But when Uzziah became strong, his pride caused him to be destroyed. He was not faithful to the Lord, his God. He went into the Lord's temple to burn incense on the altar for burning incense. Azariah the priest and 80 brave priests who served the Lord followed Uzziah into the temple. They told Uzziah he was wrong. They said to him, "Uzziah, it is not your job to burn incense to the Lord. It is not right. That is for the priests, Aaron's descendants, to do. They are the only ones who have been prepared for the holy work of burning incense. You have not been faithful, so you must go out of the most holy place. The Lord God will not honor you for this." The word of God for the people of God. As we prepare our hearts this morning for Holy Communion, will you please join me as we pray the prayer of confession? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quites, with all the never get it rights. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.
are. I say I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody, well, all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought faithful member of the family. If they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of a family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Thank you, Praise Band. At this time, we'd like to invite all kiddos who'd like to attend Spark Worship to exit out the back, where we're going to learn about being a doer of God's word and not just a hearer, and we're going to sing and dance, and then come back in for communion later.
Thank you, Jesse. Y'all have fun, and we'll see you when you get back for communion. What a week we've had. And our hearts are yet again heavy over more violence yesterday in Dallas. Everywhere we turn, it seems like people are mad. They're mad at each other, they're mad at themselves, they're mad at the world. It seems like we can't get ahead. But we do know that there is our God who has a plan. And we'll hear more about that in a few moments. So I'm going to invite you to take just a few moments of silence in the heart of your own prayers and lift them before God. And then we're going to pray together using a prayer written by Reinhold Niebuhr. I think you'll know the prayer. So let us go before God in the silence of our hearts that we might confess, that we might receive grace, and we might pray for our world. Let us continue in prayer. Almighty God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things which should be changed. And the wisdom to distinguish one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, and trusting that you will make all things right if we would just surrender to your will, so that we might be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Wow, today we're talking about having a life that really matters. And it goes along with the series we've been talking about Christian life and how we are to live our lives and how do we live a life that matters in this day and time. We all want to live a life that matters, right?
Right.
We want to serve God. Yes. We want to serve the church. Yes. We want to serve our families. And we want to serve the world. But somehow, along the way, we forget. We forget whose we are and who we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so I'm here to remind you today, this is the whole lesson for today, to remind you that you are precious in God's sight, that every single person was made in the image of God. Look to your left. Look to your right. Those people you just looked at were made in God's image. Isn't that amazing? That you were made by the God of the universe, and the essence of God is within you. This is an amazing thing. Imagine that we have everything we need right here, right now, to live a life that really matters. Every person put here by God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. And how do we know that? If the kids were sitting up front, they'd say, Jesus. And I'd say, close enough, we learn it from Scripture. Thank you, Josh. By the way, Josh, I heard it was your birthday today. He's good. Happy birthday, brother. You are made in God's image. Isn't that beautiful? I think it is. But we're noted that in our memory verse. Do you remember the memory verse we've been practicing? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You can find it in your pew Bibles if you want on page 717. Yep. Or you can be brave and bold like me and not look. Now, different versions have different words, so this is the one I'm going to use. So say it along with me as you have it. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, for a future with hope. This is the word of God for the people of God. Friends, you were chosen. God has a plan for you in moments of depression or apathy or sadness or resentment. In times when we might even hear a voice of our own self say, well, I didn't choose to be put in the world. Or maybe we say, I didn't choose this life. And you're right. You didn't choose it. God chose it for you. Your soul was chosen to exist in this body, whether it makes sense or not. I know, this body? Really? And even if your friends or your family or society at large treats you like a burden, your existence makes perfect sense to our Creator, the God who made you and created your life. Can I say here an amen on that? Now, the first step in realizing God's plan for our life is to realize that we are completely and totally loved, and that we were chosen, each of us, by God to be right here, right now. And if God had a refrigerator, did you hear what Bobby said? Your picture would be on it. When my kids were little, my mom bought a picture frame with the picture of a little boy and praying. And the picture says, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. And if you wake up and look in the mirror and say to yourself, well, I'm not that pretty or handsome. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. Nobody's ever going to love me. Let me assure you, that's wrong thinking. Some people will call that stinking thinking. And whatever you need to do, whether it's to write it down or say it out loud or seal it upon your heart to claim the truth, remember every day, especially on the hardest days, that you are loved. And not only that, God has a plan for your life, plans for your welfare, not for harm, plans for a future with hope. And if you could say just one daily affirmation, what if you said, my birth means God says I matter. And don't let the world or anybody else talk you out of that. Claim your birthright. Claim that you are absolutely loved. God says it in the Bible over and over and over. And Christ said it when he gave his life for us on the cross. You are worth that much. And it's in the book. So living a life that really matters begins with you deeply knowing within your soul that you are loved. And I am here to remind you, because sometimes we lose our connection. We lose our connection with God. We go stray from the way. We are away from Jesus. We lose sight about what really matters in life. Society will give us a narrative of what a life that really matters looks like. You know that narrative. It's about fame and money and success. The world says if you have all that, then you have a life that matters. And even if you're not into fame, maybe being the best at whatever you do is your goal. Or maybe you'll be the one who finally discovers the cure for whatever that disease is. And maybe you'll be the richest person on earth. If you are, give me a call. Maybe you're going to create the very next social media craze. And see, all those things are okay things. There is nothing wrong with that. But will that help you live a life that really matters? I know some have been in hospice ministry with others, Stephen's ministry. And I know, like them, we've never sat at the bedside of a person who's actively dying and heard them say, I wish I would have worked more. I wish I would have had, I don't know, maybe one more million in the bank. Because at that point, it is not about a life that really matters. And you could save the entire world, but what really matters is the ability to make small changes in our part of the world that God has placed us in. For us to make the world just a little bit better as we love God and as we love our neighbors. Now, let's look to the story of Uzziah. Jean said to me today, I read it and I'm just not really sure how you're going to get a sermon out of that. It was a long reading too. In this reading, we learn that he was made king at the age of 16. Jessica, 16. He was made the king. He was crowned co-regent with his father, King Azariah. He ruled for 52 years. And you heard Jean read about all the amazing things he did that mattered to God's kingdom. And then one day, ideals headed south, and his ego and his pride puffed him up and got him in big trouble. King Uzziah was on his way to fulfilling a life that really mattered when he kind of tripped and fell. As a young man, had a life full of hopes and dreams and visions for the future, like many of us. And somewhere along the line, these dreams faded. And instead, many of us feel dragged through life, feeling a little bit depressed, defeated. But that is not God's plan for us. God designed us for love. God designed us for joy and laughter and discovery. God designed us to create and live lives with passion. Wherever you are in life, God wants us to take advantage of these wonderful plans that God has made for us. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't listen well. I don't know why. Too many of us have bought into the lies. We get to a point in our life when we think that we're the next best thing. That's what King Uzziah did. His ego, the Bible said, was so inflated that he began to think himself God-like. And you think it's a little thing to go into the sanctuary and build, you know, light the incense. But it was a big thing. And when he broke covenant with his people, the Bible verses that he didn't read tells you the end of the story for the king Uzziah. The priest chastised him. There were 50 or 80 or how many? Bunch of them. And parts of the ceiling of the temple began to fall, and light came through and hit him, and he got leprosy. For the rest of his career, although he stayed king, he crowned his son as the co-regent, and he lived his life in isolation. Yeah, That's the ending of his story. It is not the ending of our story. Because if we've gotten to that point, we can break those bad patterns. We can break those pieces of our life. God does that for us all the time, taking those broken pieces like the glass of stained glass and putting them all back together in a beautiful pattern. God can do that for us too, whatever brokenness we have. So living a life that really matters means that we know that we know that we know that we can fully rely on and trust in God, that we can believe in Jesus, that we know that Christ died for our sins. We know that God loves us so much that we are part of God. Those plans, whatever they are, we can roll with. You know, sometimes we forget that we're chosen. Sometimes we forget that our birth was just not a cosmic accident, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, "Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for your harm. Plans for a future with hope." In trusting in God's plan, then we're ready to reply in kind, because we can live into the biggest commandment that Jesus ever gave us, which was, you know these, to love God and love our neighbors. That helps us fulfill God's plan for us, God's good plan that gives us freedom, freedom to make good choices in our lives. Now, this means that although God wants the very best for us and God's plans are good, God has given us the choice to receive these plans or to reject them. And I'll confess to you, brothers and sisters, this past week I was a mess of allergies and emotions, trying to figure out what is God's good plan for the United Methodist Church. Because Saturday, my United Methodist pastor colleagues and our lay delegates met to vote on a special session of the Rio Texas Conference. We were voting to approve 33 churches disaffiliating with the United Methodist Church. I know. I have a list of those churches if you want to look at them. And our job was to just simply ratify their vote and let them go. But I will tell you, it made me very sad. It made me very mad. And I just felt out of sorts. And so I kept asking God, how could this be your good plan for the church? And when I was feeling at my lowest, when I really didn't know what to do, in the mail I got a card. And sometimes I get cards, but this card had the Serenity Prayer in it. And it was just what I needed when I needed it, to pray the Serenity Prayer. And let me tell you that this card came from a church visitor. She belongs to a church that's going through the disaffiliation process, and she knows how hard that is. And so I've been praying this prayer. I hope you'll pray it too. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. When she was praying for me, I said, okay, maybe God's got some good plans in this for all of us. It was a real God moment for me, because it was a reminder of who I am and whose I am in Christ Jesus our Lord. It reminded me to embrace God's grace and loving response for all my brothers and sisters, those staying and those leaving. And how amazing it was to find God in those little things, in the cards, in the prayers, to remind me that we are to love God and love others. And that is always God's good plan for us. It reminded me to embrace God's grace. And I hope it reminds you too, that God has a plan for our lives. And sometimes God's plans seem really hard, but always God is using every circumstance for our growth, our grace. So look around you right now, because there are God moments everywhere. Don't miss them.
out of anger or sadness or pain or shame, because that is not God's good plan for you. And sometimes we're reminded, and other times we are, to give those good gifts to others in Jesus' name. Both parts of those bring life. Jeremiah 29:11 teaches us what? Surely, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bring you hope and a future. I said it wrong, didn't I? Yeah. May God fill you today and always with such grace and love and peace that you will fully claim God's good plan in your life. Oh yeah, one more thing. God told me to tell you today that you are amazing, that God loves you, and that you are a gift to God. Thanks be to God. Oh, one more thing. God, we know this because God don't make no junk. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to prepare your heart to offer your presence to the Lord. The reason that I give is that combined with all the giving within our church, I believe my portion does go forward to help others. So will the ushers come forward? Will you please stand in body or spirit as we sing the doxology?
As we celebrate Holy Communion today, we always ask you if you would like to give in addition to your tithes and offering for the altar rail giving. And you, sometimes people come and kneel and just leave the giving right there on the altar rail, hence the name altar rail giving. And this month, our giving, 100% of it will go to Worldwide Mobility. And these are the called PET projects. It's a mobility vehicle for those who cannot get around in its powerful ministry for Jesus. There are quite a few people in our congregation who participate fully in this ministry. If you are, could you just stand for a moment if you're part of the Worldwide Mobility team? I see two of you. Yeah. We're super blessed because Joe Shubar is going to speak to us in a moment of mission a little bit later in this month, because we want to highlight for you what amazing work this group does. So thank you. If you'd like to leave extra resources on the altar rail, you may do that as you come forward for Holy Communion. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, it is a means of grace. It is a means of us receiving God's grace within us. John Wesley even felt like this ordinance was a transformative ordinance, that people would be refilled or filled for the first time with the Holy Spirit. As such, every single person is invited to this table. We don't even really consider it a United Methodist table. We consider this Christ table. And so every person here is invited to come forth and receive this gift of grace. We do it through the symbol of bread and wine. For Methodists, it's grape juice and bread. But all has been made ready for you. And we don't come to this table presuming our own goodness, because we can't ever be good enough. But Christ is and was and stands for us and invites you to be part of this. Our sacred worth is part of God's plan and a gift from God. So no matter what you've done, what your present condition is, all are welcome at this table. And communion provided us an opportunity to confess our sins and start all over. So we confessed earlier this time, if there's anything else on your heart you should confess before you come to this table, because God has and will forgive you. Now, you may join me by either going to page 13 in your hymnal or by reading the lines above. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth that we might be free. As part of God's plan, we don't even understand, Almighty God, but we receive from you the gift of Jesus Christ. We receive from you complete and total restoration in body, mind, and spirit. And we receive from you the gift of love and grace that we might share with others this love into the very world that they might know Jesus Christ too. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty gifts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We ask, Almighty God, that you would pour forth the power of your Holy Spirit upon each life here and upon these gifts of bread and wine, making them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And Almighty God, make us one, one with Christ, one with each other, one in service and ministry to the whole world until you come again and we feast together at your heavenly banquet. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor, all glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We, as many as we are, when we pray together, when we eat together, when we share together, it is a means in sharing in the body of Christ. The body of Christ broken for you. When we share this common cup and we bless it as Christ blessed it and sharing it together, it is a means in sharing in the blood of Christ. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Those who are serving, please come forward that we might prepare. And as I said earlier, this table is open to everyone. And so come forward, I think with the help of our ushers, and receive this holy gift. If you can't leave the pews or need us to come, just let the ushers know and we'll come to you. The table's been made ready. Will you join me in praying the prayer after receiving? The word should appear up on the screen. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What a beautiful thing for us to share at the table. That proves God's love for us, right? And it also proves that we are in God's plan and purpose. And that should fill us with joy as we say together what our mission statement when we'll leave this place. Because we are called to be the people of God in the community in the world. So will you say it with me? The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and our world. That's a big order. but I have it on good authority that you have exactly what you need to do it. Now let us go forth in the power of this blessing. Almighty God, we know that you have good plans for us. Plans for our welfare and not for harm. Plans for hope and a future. Enlighten our days and show us your plan step by step that we might do your will and work in the world. We ask for this blessing in the name of Christ Jesus. And if you agree, say amen. Let's go forth in peace.